Amen, 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 and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everyone. We want to welcome you to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, especially if you are visiting this morning. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service. This is the fifth Sunday of the month. On months that have five Sundays, we meet together. Normally, we have an 8 o'clock and 11:15 service, so we thank you for joining us this morning. If you're watching by way of television, thank you also for tuning in. We are also live streaming our service, and so many are at home in hospital beds and sick, and we just want to say hello to you. We know many of you wish you could be here. The church, say hello to them.
Hello.
Hello. We certainly wish you could be with us, especially if you're watching on our television program, and if you have never stepped foot in the place. I know you might be enjoying it on that television, but you enjoy it much more if you come to this place and be in fellowship with us, and we invite you to come. If you have a question, you want to talk to someone, if you want someone to pray with you, we will pray with you even right now if you call the number on your screen. God bless you. We have all the families here, and if you got seats in between as people come in, don't steal the empty seats next to you. Let them sit down. Amen, 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 amen. If you see somebody that needs a seat, as individuals still come in, I'm going to ask Brother Gerby Aguirre, our Spanish minister, to come and to lead us in a prayer. Brother Gerby, if you come up, please lead us in prayer in Spanish. I think Brother Wilkerson is translating for our Spanish group today, and we appreciate Brother Gerby. Gerby is doing a great job, and we appreciate him as a minister, and we're thankful that he's here with us.
Amen. Amen.
Santo Padre, Dios Todopoderoso,
Father, all powerful,
Dios nuestro,
our Father, our God.
Gracias, Señor, por estar juntos en esta mañana.
Thank you. Thank you, Father, we're together this morning.
Señor, son tantas cosas que quisiéramos decirte.
Father, there's so many things that we want to tell you.
Pero tú conoces nuestras necesidades.
But you know our needs.
Y tú conoces nuestras alegrías.
And you know our happiness, our joys.
Y tú conoces nuestras tristezas.
And you know our sadness.
Tú conoces nuestras familias.
You know our families.
Tú conoces cada uno de los miembros de la iglesia aquí.
You know every member of the family of God here.
Yes.
Tú conoces nuestros visitantes que están con nosotros.
You know who those are that are visiting among us.
Tú conoces todo, Padre Santo.
You know it all, Father.
Porque tú eres nuestro único Dios verdadero.
Because you are our only true God.
Yes.
Que conoce todo.
You know all.
Señor, te damos gracias por las bendiciones espirituales que tú nos das.
Thank you, Father, for the spiritual blessing that you have granted us.
Te damos gracias por el perdón de nuestros pecados que nos has dado a nosotros.
We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins that you have granted to us.
Yes.
Te damos gracias, Señor, por esa promesa que nos has ofrecido de la vida eterna.
We thank you, Father, for the offering of eternal life that you have given unto us.
Gracias porque somos uno en Cristo Jesús.
Thank you that we are one in Christ Jesus.
Gracias porque somos una familia, Padre Santo.
Thank you that we are one family.
Te amamos.
We love you.
Y queremos, Padre, siempre hacer las cosas bien.
And we always want to do what is right.
Yes.
Te pedimos que seas con aquellos hermanos que han perdido a seres queridos en tu iglesia.
We thank you, Father, and ask you to be with those who have lost among us loved ones.
Que les fortalezcas.
That you would strengthen them.
Que les animes. Y que nos ayudes a nosotros para poder ayudar a ellos.
And help us, Father, that we might be a help to them.
Gracias, Señor, por nuestros ancianos de la iglesia.
We thank you, Father, for the elders of the church.
Y sus esposas.
We thank you for their wives.
Gracias, Señor, por nuestros predicadores.
We thank you for our preachers.
Y sus esposas.
We thank you for their wives.
Gracias, Señor, por nuestros diáconos.
We thank you for the deacons.
Y sus esposas.
And their wives.
Señor, ayúdanos siempre para poder ser mejores.
Help us, Father, always that we might be better.
Perdónanos.
Forgive us.
Si hemos pecado en contra de ti.
If we have sinned against you.
Bendícenos a todos.
Bless everyone.
En el nombre de Cristo.
In the name of Jesus.
Amén.
Amén.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. We have the past few weeks been speaking from a lesson series we entitled Capstone, Transformational Discipleship. Our theme for the year, most of you should know, is making disciples and making a difference. So we have been in discipleship training, those that are members of the body of Christ here, and those perhaps that are searching, that are in the searching, seeking mode right now, we welcome you to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We believe that we are a serious Bible church. We believe that we are trying our best to follow the Word of God. And those of us that have submitted to baptism into Jesus Christ, we've submitted to discipleship training. Disciple means a pupil, a student. And we are lifelong students, and so we don't know it all, and we're trying to learn all we can from the master teacher. And God's mission is for us to make disciples. Amen. He left the mission to Jesus. Jesus left the mission to the apostles. The apostles passed the mission on to us and his church. And our primary mission, before Jesus left, he said, go and make disciples of all the nations. Right. And so we're on that charge, not just to be a disciple, not just to say we have an exclusive club, but to make a difference in this world. And so we have been studying, and we've been working and serving and trying to do the will of God. Amen. And in this last quarter of the year, this fourth quarter, if you will, of the year, we're looking on the inside. Paul told the church in Rome to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. And so we are in our transformation process. And it is a process. It is a process. We don't want anyone to put on a guilt trip. We're not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody, because we all do grow at different maturity levels. And in the Lord's church, we have babes in Christ Jesus. But we have some who've been a baby a little bit too long. Amen, somebody. And we have maturing Christians. And so it's personal. You analyze yourself. But we're challenging all of us to go through this transformation. It is truly a change of heart, a change of mind. And we've not covered nearly the number of lessons that we wanted to cover. But I want to end this series today and try to conclude and see if we can. I've entitled this particular lesson, Our Core Motivation for Transformation. And, you know, because I realize, I think I put up in a chart on the screen 8 attributes that Lifeway Research, in their book Transformational Discipleship, they did the big survey of over 7,000 individuals around the country, different groups, trying to see what attributes, what traits were similar in those who profess to be maturing Christians. And I listed those: Bible engagement, obeying God and denying self, and serving God and others, sharing Christ, exercising faith, seeking God, building relationships, and unashamed. And I've only really dealt with one of those in detail. And time will not allow me to go through all of them. But one of the things I recognize, even as studying this, and I believe that you would do the same, that, you know, nobody is going to change unless they're motivated to change. And there has to be a good enough reason. And there are a lot of things that motivate us. Hate is a motivator. Some folks are operating on it, but, you know, hate destroys. And we're not talking about motivating with hate. Fear is a motivator. Fear can make people do a lot of things. But you know what? Fear is not good for us all the time. Even the Bible tells us that perfect love love is the greatest motivator. When we get to the point, you know what? When you love something and show enough love, it'll make you change. Some of you change for your wife. Some of you changed for your husband. Some of you have traveled places you said you would never go because you were in love. Amen. And you might be doing it right now. Some of you have spent money that you wouldn't spend on nobody else because you fell in love. And I want to get down to the core of our motivation, because I do believe that we as disciples, if we are motivated by the right thing and in the right way, nobody is not going to have to call us to get up to come to worship. Nobody, you won't be asking questions like, why do we have to go to Bible class? Because when you love something, you find a way. You find a way to please, to satisfy that you love. True disciples, imitate and obey their master. Yeah. True students in any area of life who they walk like and talk like and act like, and they listen to their master. And it is the surest and quickest way to mastery when you have a master that you are serving. Amen. You know, there are a lot of things that we do. I play golf every now and then, and I can remember, you know, golf is a tough sport if you want to get good at it. It really is, and you have to play it. You have to really study it and practice. But, I was thinking back since I've been playing golf, the best golf outing, the best golf that I've ever played was after one day I was sitting at my computer. And there was this thing that came, I was looking up some thing, and there was this simulation of, they said it was all of the greatest golf swings put together. And they had this guy, and he just was just swinging a club. They did it in slow motion, they did it in fast motion. You know, and I've been looking at other things, trying to learn that. And I watched it for about maybe 20 minutes, just watching. Bro, Gary, you watched that long? Yes, I did. And I watched his tempo and his swing speed and his, and I just, nothing else, I just watched it. Then I went out and played golf that day. And I shot the best score I've ever shot by simply watching and emulating. And I know that it's simple, but I look at Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate example for us, the ultimate example. And I want us to see if we can emulate what Jesus did. Listen to John chapter 10. Everybody's all right this morning? You look beautiful. You look wonderful. You look wonderful. Smile. Don't you like this chilly weather? You put on clothes you had in the closet you didn't think you were going to wear, did you? John 10:15. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's what Jesus said. Now he said, the Father knows me. Jesus was the true example of a disciple. I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. To give, that's the ultimate sacrifice. To lay down your life or something. Jesus was truly dedicated to the cause. Listen to verse 17, John 10:17. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. See, the disciple obeys the master. And Jesus gave us the ultimate example in that he obeyed what the Father. He trusted the Father. He obeyed the Father even to the point of laying down his. I got a question for us as disciples. Are we really committed to being a disciple? I mean, I know it's strong, especially now, it's early, but is this really what you want to do, is to be a disciple? Listen to Jesus in John chapter 12, verse 49, John 12:49. For I did not speak of mine own initiative. Lord have mercy. You mean we have to. But the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. See, in order to be a true disciple, we need to decide who we're going to listen to. And this goes from the young to the old, because in life we're listening to somebody. Something, somebody, some philosophy we are paying attention and we're giving our attention to. We have to decide. We need to decide as early as we can who's going to be, who, what standard am I going to live by? Jesus, he says, he listened to the Father. But what was his motivation? That's what we're trying to get to this morning. Because, you see, you know, I know you, I mean, we have to be, all of us, most of us are pretty selfish. We want to know what's in this. Brother, why should I be a disciple? And Jesus was no different. Jesus, yes, he was God in the flesh. Yes, he's the Son of God. And he manifested himself as the Son. But Jesus, listen to John chapter 8, verse 54. John 8, 54. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. That's what he said. And you know, a lot of us like to pat ourselves on the back and brag about ourselves and even reward our own self. But how are you going to reward yourself when you don't have nothing to give? Amen. I know I don't have enough to reward myself with right now. Amen. Listen to what else he said. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. Jesus recognized that the Father, now we have to do a whole study on what it means to glorify. But see, glory is something all of us are seeking. From some, even individuals, why in the world would LeBron James, with all the money that he has right now, or why in the world does he keep going out there playing basketball? Because he can buy all of us something. Amen. What is his motivation? Why does he keep doing all of this? You know why? Because he wants glory. He wants to be recognized. He wants to be honored. He wants to be honored as the best of all times. All of us are seeking. Some of us seek glory in the wrong place, though. See, some of us, some young lady, some young man, you seeking, you trying to get this girl to glorify you. You trying to get this young man to glory, and you don't know it's the wrong street. They can't do nothing for you right now. Amen. Yeah, and some of us seek glory from people, from groups, from organizations. Notice this. Listen to John chapter 17, verse 5. John 17, 5. We're trying to get to this core motivation that will motivate us to want to transform. Jesus says, now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus had glory before he came to this earth. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Jesus had glory, and it must have been so, so good, because here in John 17, he knows he's getting ready to face the cross, and he sees the cross and says, Lord, Lord, I want to be where you are. Amen. I want to have what I had. Amen. And he knows that he must finish his task before he can be glorified like that again. See, Jesus knew the value of God's glory. I don't know where we are in our spiritual lives, and maybe some of us don't recognize, but the Son of God recognized that the price he was about to pay was worth it because of what God was going to do for him. See, that's where a lot of us are a lot of time. I don't know if we really recognize what God's glory is all about. I don't know if we really value, because when you value something and you know it's precious and you know it's good, you yearn it and you learn it, you strive for it. And boy, Jesus, he was so focused on his mission. He didn't waste any time. He accomplished more in 33 and a half years, more than any person who's ever lived on this earth. Why? Because he knew his mission and he wanted the glory. That's it. Lord have mercy, yeah. Transformational discipleship is accelerated when we recognize and hunger for the glory of God. It's accelerated. And I say that because, you see, now notice this now. We say, see, some of us, we come into the kingdom at a late hour. And it's not to say that all of us are going to be the ultimate spiritually mature when Jesus comes again. Because some of us might, some of us going to make heaven our home because we simply obey God. Amen. But while we're down here on this earth, God does not want us to remain the same. He wants us to be transformed. Why? So we can be a light in this dark world. This world needs some more lights to bring people to Jesus Christ. Amen. And make disciples for Jesus Christ. And see, this transformational discipleship, and this is really, it really is personal. You know, I've been in the church literally baptized for over 45 years. I need to just look at myself. Am I improving? Am I better? Am I drawing people to Christ or pushing people away from Christ? I need to be totally honest with myself. Am I a baby in Christ after 45 years? So it's personal. Well, I don't know where you are, where what you want to be. But when you recognize when we recognize that God will bless us like nobody else can. We're yearning and we'll strive for it even more and even more. Jesus' number one mission when he was on this earth was to provide our core motivation. That's what Jesus did. Listen to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Matthew 4, 23. Stay with me. Don't go to sleep on me now. I know I mentioned to you when we first started this series, this is deep cotton. You got to concentrate to get this. Matthew 4:23. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus is on his mission. This is the core of his mission. He's teaching. He's proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The gospel of the kingdom of God was his message. Amen. Was that message important? Of course it was. Amen. Paul, the apostles, repeated the same message. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe it in vain. For I delivered unto you first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Jesus, the gospel of the kingdom, that was his message. All the people, there got to be something in this message. The apostles, the gospel, they repeated it over and over again. There has to be something about this message. Gospel, the word gospel, it's good news. But notice, here in 1 Corinthians 15, it's good news, and we shared this with you before. The gospel is inclusive of all of Christ's teaching, all of his doctrine. But there was an event of the gospel that Paul focused here on. This event of the gospel took place for mankind's ultimate benefit. The event was when Jesus died on the cross. That's the crux of the gospel. Those are the facts of the gospel. And we've heard it so much that we almost don't want to hear it again. We almost get tired of hearing it again, and that is the core of the gospel. Amen. And I was looking at this, and even in the transformational discipleship book, they share about what the gospel has to be the core of the entire ministries, Amen. All the ministries of the church. Amen. It has to be at the essence of why we are motivated to do what we do. And I say, wait, we got to look a little further. Because, you know, most of us as Christians, we believe the gospel message is for non-believers. people that's outside of Christ, for justification, if you will. Because when we become a Christian and you heard these messages before, you hear the message of the cross, it's like, okay, well, you know, we need more than that. We want advice, and we want step-by-step actions, and we want a manual, and we want workshops to show us how we are to live. And we almost overlook the facts of the gospel. We don't think the gospel is for our sanctification. It's for our justification. Sanctification is our spiritual maturity to make us pure, to make us set apart. Because we're looking for all of these to-do things. You know, and I thought about that. I said, man, you know, that's kind of, you know, Lord, have I been guilty of that? Because, you know, we love when somebody come and do a workshop on how to do something. But you know what? When your motivation is right, when you are motivated from the core, see, when you love something, don't nobody have to, you going to find how to get it done.
Amen.
Amen. And I tried to illustrate that in the first lesson. We talked about King David. And no, the second lesson, I believe, on transformation. We talked about King David and his example. Because until we fully understand and appreciate the intentions of the gospel, we won't want to be transformed. It just ain't enough in it for us. It just ain't enough to make us give up something that we've been holding on to. It's not enough to make us really change. We've changed some of our actions, but our minds haven't been transformed.
Amen.
Lord, help us, Jesus. I'm so guilty of this. I'm so guilty of this. You remember when we studied about King David as an example to illustrate how David transformed into a man the Bible calls after God's own heart. Because he didn't start off that way. Or it seemed like he started off that way and he fell off the track big time, didn't he? Some of us can relate, can't?
Amen.
Amen. Act like you. All right. And we read the passage in Psalms 51. Stay with me, please. Psalms 51:1. This was the text that we read when we talked about David. Listen to him talking. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindnesses, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. He's on Benai, isn't he? Against you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. We highlighted three Hebrew words that reveal the comprehensive nature of sin. See, this is key. See, to be motivated to transform, you have to recognize the condition that you're in. And we highlighted the words pasha. The word in verse 1 for rebellion. It's transgression. It's willful transgression. Willful rebellion against one we owe allegiance to. It's when you know what you're doing, but you just do it anyway. It's one of the words for sin in here. The word ava, it's the word for guilt, the word for iniquity. It means twisted out of shape. Some of you remember this? Twisted out of shape. And I'm not going to review everything that we talked about. And the word chata, it's the word sin. All in this text we just read. It means missing the mark. Anybody in here ever missed the mark? Missed the target? We all should be able to relate to sin. We all should be able to relate to sin. Okay, I have never killed nobody, and I haven't done all that stuff David did, but we've done something, haven't we?
Yep.
Don't make me have to reach a little bit. Because you know we've done some things, haven't we? You know, but and think about this. See, God hates sin. God hates sin. I thought about that too. I said that, you know, David is a pretty drastic example because, boy, I mean, he had the man killed. He committed adultery with his wife, had a baby from the woman. Boy, he lied. Well, that's pretty bad. But then I thought about it. You know, I remember, see, that was, when I was playing football, did you not know that if you were late to a meet, we had meets all the time. My coaches were so big on time, on being on time. If you were late to a meeting, the first time they would make you run what's called a must. I went to SMU, the Mustangs were the mascot. They made you run what's called a Mustang reminder. And you don't want to know what a Mustang reminder. It was torture. And I never ran a Mustang reminder, praise the Lord. I saw plenty of my friends running Mustang reminders, and you would do it after practice, after a long practice, with your whole uniform on, your chin strap buckle up, and what it was 100 yards. It was 100, every 5 yards, you had to hit the ground. You run 5, hit the ground. Run 5 more, hit the ground. Do it 100 yards back and 50 yards back. By the time you got, it was murder. Now, I have to finish what I said. I never ran one my whole career till my senior year. I got a little big-headed. I knew I was pushing it, and I was running down the hallway. I was looking at the clock, and my coach was standing at the door. And when you kind of late, they started counting off. Top 10, 9. I said, I'm coming, coach. Hold the door. 10, 9. I got to the door. 10, 1, 0. And I crossed the line. Boom. I made it. He said, no, you didn't. And I thought he was playing. I'm a senior. I mean, I'm a big-time senior. I'm Gary Smith. I was the captain of the team. My senior year, I was the captain of the team. We got through with practice. We practiced. Everybody blow the horn. And I got my helmet. I'm running here with everybody else. My coach said, Gary Smith. I said, huh? What? You owe me. I said, oh, you went, coach? You know what? I said, coach, I was just a half a coach. I was right there at the door. And he made me run the Mustang reminder. Lord have mercy, Jesus. It make my leg hurt right now. Thank you. I said that for a reason. See, listen. They were so stickler about everything. And guys, we got punished for doing all kind of stuff. And I think about God, how we sin against God. How many times have you sinned? Well, come on, I'm still on my lesson. We're talking about a core motor, because see, some of us don't think we're in that bad a shape. That's what the problem is. See, some of us think that we all right, but God knows you. Amen. And he knows you got us fooled. Amen. You got the elders fooled, the deacons fooled. Sure got Brother Gary fooled, because I'm not trying to be a nobody business. Well, I got enough business of my own. Right. Amen, somebody. Right. Do I need to name some of the things that we do? We lie like the devil. Amen. We taking things. Bro, girl, I ain't never robbed a bank. You got something. We steal from our employees. Don't nobody know it yet. You keep doing it, they will know it. We sneak around on our... Bro, girl, I don't do none of that. We gossip. Talk about everybody. Some of us need to be ashamed of ourselves, how we talk about people. But who are you talking about? I don't know. Shoe fit? We rebel. We have secret sins. What do you mean, Brother Gary? If you stood up and showed it right now, you know what? We're really not no better than Dave. What you mean? Admit it. Let me speak. If I make it to heaven, I plan on making it to heaven. I do. If I make it to heaven, it's going to be by the grace of God. That's some things I'm working on. I'm trying to transform. I'm trying to, but I need to recognize. See, well, girl, you the preacher though. Psalms 32. I want to end on time. Brother Hooks read Psalms 32 in a hearing. It's actually the sequel to Psalms 51. Psalms 32, David celebrates the forgiveness that has been joyfully realized. In Psalms 32, his shame has been exchanged for God's joy. Now, Psalms 51. Now, the same three Hebrew words that are in Psalms 51, they're there in Psalms 32, but And these words reveal the comprehensive nature of sin. But there are also three more Hebrew words that illustrate the comprehensive nature of God's forgiveness. And they really, they supersede the words for sin. They trump the words for sin. They show us that God's forgiveness is deeper. It's stronger than the sin that we have. I want to read Psalms 32. Listen to it. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. That's one of the words, forgiven. Underline that word. Whose sin is covered. That's another Hebrew word. It's covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. That's the Hebrew phrase. Does not impute iniquity. In whose spirit there is no deceit. Then he goes on to say, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever of heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the flood of great waters they will not. Listen, this is a warning to us. This is a warning. You can sugarcoat. You can deny. You can be in denial. You can hide. You can secret. You can. God is good. You know, everybody say God is good. He's good because we're here right now. But you know what? There's going to come a time when we're going to call on God. If we keep waiting, if we keep hesitating, if we keep rebelling and rejecting God, and God won't hear us. He says, surely in the flood of great waters, they will not reach him when you need him the most. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Let me go over these words with you, and I'm going to close. In verse 1, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. It's the Hebrew word, I may be pronouncing it right, wrong. Nasa. It's the word for forgiven. The word nasa means to lift or carry away. Yeah, you remember sin and the words pasha and how it's rebellion and you rebelling against God, you rejecting God. But the word nasa means to lift and to carry away. When God forgives us, he carries away our sins and separates it from us infinitely. I love that. I love that. I love it. See, some of us need to learn from God. Some of us have been holding a grudge for 35 years. You know we do that. We people do things to us. And listen now, Jesus, when he was on this earth, he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Jesus, he taught the disciples how to pray. He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive. Anybody got some debts? And sometimes, you know, people just mess over you, and people just do what's wrong. They do that, don't they? Yeah, people are something else, aren't they? And it does make you mad, make you angry how people just use. Do we have any users in here? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just thinking about this. Can I sit down for a minute? My leg is hurting. I was thinking about this. You know, see, one of the great benefits of being a Christian is God's forgiveness.
Amen.
You know, when we're baptized, I love it when Peter, and asked Peter, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness, for the remission of all your sins. That's beautiful to me.
Yes.
That's beautiful to me. And God does not remember our sins. I don't even know how God does it. I don't, because I know some things that I think I've forgiven people over, but every now and then it seems like it pop up back in my head. When I see him, I say, there he go. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me to grow. I need some faith. But you know how I know God has forgiven me of a lot of things? Because how he blessed me.
Amen.
And I mean that because, see, and I know it's different for everybody. But when you appreciate, Have your mother, your dad ever, like, you know, my mother, every now and then, my dad, you've heard me say, he probably spanked me 5 times, but they were just the worst. He should have been in jail for child But I'm all right, I'm still here. I mean, really, if the people would have saw my daddy spank the way he whooped us when we were young, some of y'all would have been the same thing.
Yep.
But turned out all right. I shouldn't say that, y'all. Don't you say nothing to my dad is here. I don't want nobody messing with my brother Smith. Leave him alone. No, he didn't hurt us that bad, but he really did. But I remember when my mother used to threaten us, but she didn't follow through on it all the time. And she had the right to. She had the right to. And I remember sometimes that she wouldn't. And I would just be saying, I'm glad mama forgot what we did. But you know what? She really didn't forget. You know, no, what you're saying, Brigitte, I know I deserved it. I was really, and out of our family, before I was the best boy. I tried to be. But I was sneaky. We have any sneaky people? I'm going to tell you something. You know what? Sneaky is not good. Because, see, sneaky, you think you're getting away with something. We got anybody like that? You know, everybody think you, you know, see, everybody, oh, that's Gary. Gary's the good boy. Yeah. But why are you telling people, bro, Gary, you sneaky? Because I was. You know, when you sneaky when you young, you can be sneaky when you old. See, some of y'all, you know, you think right now, you think right, Brother Gary, you a good man. Amen. But you really don't know me that well. Most of you, a few of you know around me more, but you don't know me that well. Why are you putting yourself up like that, Brother Gary? I'm just being. Some people ask me, Brother Gary, you need to slow down. You know, you doing too much. You are not. You know what? I don't feel like I'm doing enough for the Lord. You, why you say that, Brother Gary? Because God has spared me. You know, have you ever done something? I want to ask you a question. I don't want to get sidetracked. But I want to ask you a question. Have you done something bad enough to go to jail for it, but you haven't been to jail yet?
Yes.
Am I in the right crowd?
Yes.
You don't want to amen that, are you? Look here. I haven't been to jail. I haven't been, thank the Lord. But that ain't nothing to brag about. Because guess what? I've done some things that I could have went to jail for. So I don't need to slow down. I need to learn as much as I can about Jesus. And David, at this point of his life, notice, let me finish. I'm going too long. The next word, the next phrase, covered. It's the Hebrew word kasa. It means to hide without any possibility of finding, to bury out of sight forever. Ooh, I love it. God doesn't merely sprinkle grace on our sin.
That's all right.
He covers our sin completely. And David is uttering these words. Now notice this. You're talking about a man who killed a man, who committed adultery, took a man's wife. He's a walking guilt machine. As some of us have been beating ourselves up about things that we've done, and they are holding us back right now. Instead of leading us closer to God, they're making us hide from God. That's why we don't want to go to the teacher's meeting. We don't want to teach. We want to just lay low. We don't want to talk to anybody. We're just going to come. Because we still carry it. Do you not recognize that when you get forgiveness of your sins from God, God covers?
Amen.
Now notice, I'm not sugarcoating this, you know. We have consequences. There are consequences. If I kill a man, I need to go to jail.
Yeah.
If it's not in self-defense.
Right.
I need to pay the price. Because if you kill my daughter, I want you to go to jail.
Yeah.
That's what the law is for. But there are individuals who are in the jailhouse right now who are ministering more than they would if they were out in the world. They've learned their lessons. And they're trying to use what God has given them.
Amen.
And David is at that point. Let me give you the last word and I'm going to stop. The phrase in verse 2 does not impute. It's the word lokasa. It means does not count or does not charge. It means there is absolutely no counting, no remembering, no reckoning of sin. Sin is wiped out.
Amen.
And you know, when we recognize, when we're back, this is this, and David lived under the Old Testament and under the Old Covenant. Jesus hadn't died for our sin. When we recognize what Jesus did for us, what he did when he died on the cross, that he covered our sin. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Roman church in Romans 4:6. Just as David, no, he's referring to David. Listen to this. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. He said it in the Old Testament, Paul, who was a crook, who was a murderer himself, an enemy of God, he recognized, if God can forgive me, oh, how blessed we are. So we need to recognize how good really God is and how he forgives us. And as we strive, as we struggle through our struggles in life, and as we are trying to be perfected and transform, let's recall our core motive. Oh, Lord have mercy. We want God's glory. We want God's glory because God has been so wonderful and so good to us. And before, if those of you that's thinking right now, but what if I sin again? Listen to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. First John chapter 1. This is our journey. This is our call. But if we walk in the light, he uses the term walk, it's a daily walk. It's a daily. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light. You see, that's why you have to commit. See, one of the lessons I had is that God is offensive. I played offense in football. I liked offense because, see, God said, let there be life. God created something out of nothing. Jesus went. He tells us to go. And see, and our discipleship and our transformation, don't think that you're going to sit on your bed, that you're going to sit on your couch, and God is going to, everything is going to happen. You don't have to put any effort on. Yes, we want all of these wonderful blessings, all these things to happen, but there is something that we must walk with God.
Amen.
Yeah, we got to walk with God.
Amen.
We have fellowship with one another. And notice, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all. This is the blessing. This is why you need to be a lifelong disciple, because you are not perfect. Now, why in the world would it be in the Bible that his blood continue? It uses the word in continuation. It continues to cleanse us if we didn't need it to cleanse us.
Amen.
God knows who we are. He knows all about us. He knows our struggles.
Amen.
He also knows when we're faking,
yeah.
When we're not sincere. Oh, Booker, I'm glad you said that because I'm going to be sinning tomorrow. Yeah, don't play games with God. God knows your heart. If we say that we have no sin, here it is again. For those that are holier than thou, who've been in the church a while, but girl, I don't struggle with those things anymore. Yeah, you got some pride. You need to come down a little bit. Who in the world in here would say, you know what, Burger, I'm doing all right. I ain't struggling with nothing right now. Let me talk to your wife. Can I talk to your husband? What are your children saying about you? Excuse, better than that, can I visit your job? I mean, just be honest. Who would dare say, I have no sin? We are deceiving ourselves. Notice, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. See, listen, as a disciple, you're going to have some sins.
Amen.
He's faithful.
Amen.
And righteous.
Amen.
To forgive us of our sins.
Amen.
And to cleanse us from all.
Amen.
Unrighteousness. I love you, Lord. Our core motivation for transforming, for being a disciple,
amen,
should be us recognizing the love God has for us.
Amen.
And how how he gave the ultimate sacrifice to claim us back.
Amen.
And it's ours. It's ours. And don't start thinking in your mind that you can work your way to heaven. You're not going to. It's God's grace.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the working part is what I do to help transform, to keep me in the right relationship with Christ. Yeah, I'm not. See, when your motivation is right, you're not looking for excuses. You're not looking for the easiest way. Well, how long is service going to be today? Do I have to come? You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God,
amen,
who came to this earth, died for all of our sins,
amen,
and he did it willingly. God sent him. When Jesus was on the cross, he yelled out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken?" You know why? God really didn't forsake Jesus, but Jesus felt he did at that time. But you know why God didn't put, see, you know, I said this before in the past. If that would have been one of my children on that cross, and they would have yelled, "Daddy, Daddy," y'all wouldn't have made it. Because I would have got my, if I had a boy, I would have got him off that cross. My daughters, they wouldn't have been on the cross. You can relate.
Yeah.
Well, if you can relate to that, do you think God was sad when Jesus was on the cross? And he didn't answer. But God did do some things. He turned the lights off. He rent the veil. I know that's right. Boy, I'd have been throwing lightning bolt. Wow. If I didn't take him down, I would tear something up. They know I was in the house. And they knew God was. But he didn't do it because he was thinking of us. What a shame. I feel ashamed sometimes that I don't live a better life for God. But you're here today, and you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do it today.
Amen.
You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, change your mind about sin.
Amen.
If you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes, and not be ashamed that you're a Christian. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin.
Amen.
God don't ask us to go on the cross again, thank the Lord.
Amen.
But he does ask us to obey him. And people still resist that. I don't see why I got to be baptized. Excuse me? Why don't you want to be baptized?
Amen.
They that gladly received the word were baptized that same day in Acts chapter 2.
Amen.
Why don't you be baptized today? If you have a prayer request, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?
Have you been?